The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
And welcome back and welcome into a new season of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. That's right, it's August 5th, and we are back to our daily format. Today, it is me, Field Yates, and Matthew Berry. We were not canceled.
No, we were not.
The upset of the year.
We are back. So, no Stefania Bell today.
Yep, she's gallivanting.
No Mike Clay today. I know if for people
he's
that
projecting.
For people that were watching on Twitter, we do the show live on Twitter,
and we'll every single day, 10 a.m. Eastern time.
I keep trying to kill that, but so far it has not worked yet. So we're still live on Twitter, and so for those that watched it on Twitter, we have a new open.
Yeah,
and so the new open has animation. So it goes Field Yates.
Yeah.
Well, there's the logo.
Age before beauty.
Right. Sure. Then it says Field Yates.
Yeah.
Then there's Stefania Bell.
I think Stefania came first, actually.
Did Stefania come first?
Anyways, Stefania, Field.
Stefania came first. All right, so Stefania comes first. So beauty before all.
Right.
So Stefania came first. Ladies first, of course. Then you. Mm. Then Mike Clay.
Yeah.
Who apparently has been added to the show and the cast. I should have checked my email or something like that. So we got the fill-in guy there. And then there's me. And Secret Squirrel, nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. What happened, Secret Squirrel? We've got to talk to your agent.
That is accurate. By the way, though, like, you're batting cleanup. Like, I thought the fourth spot was always
the
best spot.
You know, Daniel, I was going to say saving the best for last. Yeah. Or, if we want to continue with Matthew's theme, first they bury Matthew in the animation. Right. And then Matthew says he wants to kibosh all of this live streaming stuff. Well, how about this for news? Not only will we be live streamed every single day.
Yeah.
10 a.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday on Twitter. Check out our Twitter pages to find the link. If you haven't already discovered it, we will not only be on Twitter, we will be on, for the first time ever, YouTube. The kids, they love the YouTube, Matthew. Kids don't watch as much on the traditional television.
They love the YouTube.
The YouTube, they're all in on it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't let my kids, real talk, I don't let my kids watch YouTube. I have twin daughters that are seven.
And well, you've got to filter YouTube is, very YouTube, strictly,
YouTube
right?
is... You, I let them watch YouTube Kids. They're not allowed to watch
weird
actual
stuff,
YouTube.
Right, yeah. So on the ESPN YouTube page, yes. So every single
but
day.
But assuming you are of age,
yeah.
Go to ESPN's YouTube channel. Just to go, it shows, it's really, really fascinating, Field. Just to go to show you, like, how little power I have here. How low on the totem pole I am.
Well, I'm not
ESPN.
Done, by the way.
Okay, keep going.
So not only are we on Twitter and YouTube, but if you open up the ESPN app, many of you are familiar, the top carousel includes a video. You open it up and you see sometimes it's a highlight of the Red Sox losing to the Yankees last night. Sometimes it's a highlight of Tom Brady being good at football. Now it is going to be a video of us. These faces on the ESPN app every single day. Every single day. So.
Yeah.
I think the writing might be on the wall for you, Matthew.
It just goes to show you how little power I have at ESPN, how little they think of me, how little they listen to me, just so you know. So not only, I don't love us being live. I prefer, as anyone who's ever heard me in a different environment.
You're a sterling old man.
I like to curse. You know what I mean? There's other things I like to do. So I don't love a live environment for a podcast. And so, instead of getting rid of the live, they've actually expanded it.
Right.
They've actually, so now in addition to Twitter, we're on ESPN's YouTube channel and we are on the ESPN app, which is a fantastic app. I highly recommend downloading it. Despite the presence of us.
Should now be the time that I mentioned to Matthew that the Fantasy Show has been rebranded. It's now Daniel. You're just being featured.
It's
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
It's completely fine. Every day that I show up and my badge still works is a miracle.
All right. So for those of you, congratulations on your badge still working.
Thank you very much.
Somebody that has been sort of away from fantasy football, you're parachuting in for the day. Some of the big questions you might be asking is where we're going to start with this show and sort of with this season. Matthew, Saquon Barkley is the consensus number one player in fantasy football according to our ESPN ranks. I have a number one overall. You have a number one overall, and not just amongst running backs, but amongst all players.
Right.
That being said, the Giants, as of right now, have basically no wide receivers. Like any able-bodied person is being considered by Dave Gettleman to play wide receiver for them right now. No Sterling Shepard.
Cut to Benny Fowler going, what did I ever do to you?
Benny Fowler's sitting there like, dude, did I help you?
Yeah,
I
think Cody, wait. BF3, baby.
I was going to say, didn't Benny Fowler like totally screw you a couple of years ago to help me?
Yes. He dropped it on Monday Night Football. I believe it was on Monday Night Football. He dropped a touchdown pass that hit him in the chest.
Right.
And had he caught that, I would have beaten you. And I think I literally would have made the playoffs in that league.
I made the playoffs.
I think just literally that one drop caught. Anyway, so.
Benny Fowler,
Benny
back,
Fowler
baby.
For the win. Cody Latimer going, I'm just sitting here, Field. Why are you taking a shot at me? What am I, not a professional wide receiver? But yeah, certainly not a lot of names you recognize on the New York Giants wide receiver healthy depth chart at the moment.
And the quarterback depth chart, not particularly impressive either. Sure. Eli Manning is the starter. So Matthew, all the question marks surrounding Saquon Barkley. You nervous at all? Like, is there any reason to feel less convicted that Saquon Barkley deserves to be the number one pick in your draft if you were to hold it today?
I don't.
Okay.
Because I think that, you know, if you're Pat Shurmur and you're Eli Manning and you're sitting there going like, all right, how are we going to try to move the ball here? And so, you know, at the moment, Golden Tate is suspended for the first four games of the season. He is going to appeal that. We will see what happens there. We don't know the health.
Unlikely, by the way. Right. Very unlikely he wins that appeal.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. So, so Golden Tate out for the first four games. Sterling Shepard dealing with his injury. Maybe he misses the first game. He's certainly missing a lot of practice. So you're just like, how much? Who have I got that can touch the ball here? And it's Saquon Barkley and Evan Ingram. And so maybe Saquon Barkley is not going to be as efficient as he was last year, but volume should make up for that. I mean, this is a guy who had at least 16 touches in every single game last season, at least 20 touches in 12 of 16 games last year. He scored in 11 of 16 games last year, so super consistent. You think about the last four games of last year when Odell Beckham Jr. was out, and so you're like, oh, Barkley, and a lost season for the Giants.
So same idea, right? Who are they going to give the ball to?
Right, and so I believe he was running back 5 in terms of total points over that time frame, those 4 weeks that Beckham were out. And obviously it's still a different team, you know, and so but still it gives you sort of a sense of where they are. So I think the volume for Saquon Barkley is just going to be so massive that, yeah. And by the way, just the eye test, he's a special player.
Sure. I mean, he's a gold jacket player, as Dave Gettleman infamously said before he, or after he drafted him, Matthew. And you're right. Like, there are going to be some things that, like, I think Kyle had to work hard to find some negative stats. But if there was one thing that Saquon Barkley, perhaps, and I use struggle very liberally here, struggled with last season, it was a penchant for trying to make too much out of nothing, which resulted in negative plays.
As by the way, that's what I do on this podcast every single day, I think.
Right. So Kyle noted that of the qualifying running backs last year, 100-plus carries, Saquon Barkley, on 23.4% of his runs, was stuffed for no gain or a loss. So like one out of four carries is going literally nowhere. But Saquon had the ability to make the something out of nothing runs with such greater frequency that every other running back in football, go back and pick any highlight cut up of Saquon last year. But I specifically remember that run against the Eagles that like should have been stopped for maybe a 1 yard gain. And he goes like 72 yards to the house. There are too many of those that are going to happen because Saquon is different. That although there are going to be some inefficient moments, and during that stretch you mentioned when Odell was out, Saquon was not a particularly prolific runner in two of those four games, but he catches the ball so much, and he's going to use up and stupid. He's going to turn a 3 yard loss into a 72 yard touchdown. I'm not concerned,
especially king of the dump off Eli Manning. I mean, you know, I mean that's what it's going to be. Well, honestly, for PPR, it's going to be volume. Like he may get 8 catches for like 60 yards, but like that adds up in fantasy. Again, I don't know that he's going to be super efficient, but just the volume and the talent there is just so massive, especially then you get into the other running backs that are sort of at the top of the charts, and there's a couple of question marks there.
Serious question marks. So we talked about this during the Detroit Live show, but we're going to continue to hammer it because Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon remain, like you and I, Matthew, not participating in a training camp right now. Zeke is supposedly in Cabo. Melvin Gordon, I don't know where he is, but he's not in Los Angeles with the Chargers. Let's unpackage them one at a time and begin with Zeke because I think he's the more, I'd say maybe the most fantasy relevant running back, not named Saquon Barkley this year. We got him at the, he is the second ranked running back right now and going second overall in terms of average draft position. Zeke has dug his heels in. He wants a new deal. The Cowboys seem reticent to give him one. Matthew, at what point does this become a concern?
What do you got?
He's not second overall as far as running backs are ranked necessarily. He is going ADP for running backs as two, and that is also second overall.
Okay,
that doesn't mean that everyone has him ranked at second overall.
Sorry, I must have misread what this says right here. Then.
Yeah, okay. That's my bad.
Okay,
that's my fault as a producer not having a clear.
Okay, you may drop to third or fourth in the open.
I would like
that too. Hey, so our good friend Jonathan Luna, who used to do this show, is no longer with us. So we got a new guy.
Yeah,
Kenny's still the new guy. Yeah.
No, I know, but whatever. He's the new guy.
Okay.
Sure. No, he's saying that Jonathan did not die.
Luna is still around.
No,
you said
Luna's
he's no longer with
Luna.
Us.
Luna is one of the few bright spots of this show, and so he's been promoted. He's going to be working on another big top secret project.
Yes, correct. He's working on Barnwell's podcast.
Yeah, exactly. All I know is he's working on something that ESPN's very excited about, which means I will have nothing to do with it. So anyway, Luna has moved on to greener pastures, and so the new guy, Kenny, is here.
Still, yes. That makes it sound like he died. You cannot say someone moved on to greener pastures.
Yes! Greener pastures! Death is not a greener pasture!
You got a raise.
Death is not a greener pasture.
Okay.
Anyways, Luna no longer directs this show. How about that?
Yeah.
Sure.
So
Luna directs something else.
Kenny Legan is now our new director.
Kenny's the new guy. He can work here for 10 years. He's still going to be Kenny the new guy.
Okay.
Anyway, I would love it if Kenny the new guy would just change the opening every single day. Just on it's like a rankings.
It's a constantly
moving rankings.
Okay.
And so. With that screw up, you move down to, you know, three or four probably.
Okay, so Zeke is not the consensus number two
Secret
in terms
maybe
of rankings.
Get in there.
Yeah, maybe.
But Zeke is being drafted second amongst running backs, also second overall. Ezekiel Elliott had 381 touches last season, Matthew. That was number one in the NFL.
And
he missed a game. Ridiculous, right?
That's a crazy talk. Yeah.
So does, with Zeke's current situation, have you altered your rankings for Ezekiel Elliott at the time? Okay, me too. So what I've done, and I imagine this is where you have done as well. There's a core four in fantasy football this year, assuming they are all present for the start of the season. We just mentioned Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara. Ezekiel Elliott is now the clear-cut number four amongst those four for me. And you could probably move him down a little bit more, Matthew, if games are threatened to be missed. But as of right now, Ezekiel Elliott is fourth for me in my running back rankings. How about you?
Fifth.
Who jumped him?
David Johnson.
Okay. Interesting.
So I have, which I can get into David Johnson in a second, but so I have Ezekiel Elliott at running back five,
mm-hmm.
and I actually have him at number seven overall. So in my overall ranks, which will come out later today, you'll see I have Devontae Adams and DeAndre Hopkins both ahead of him in the overall ranks because there are no question marks about any of those four.
Right.
And we can talk about David Johnson, whether you think there's question marks or not. I make an argument that my belief is, and it sort of goes back to what we were talking about with Saquon Barkley, the volume is so insane. Like, if you think about David Johnson, everything went wrong for David Johnson last year in the Arizona Cardinals offense, still finishes the ninth best running back in fantasy. I mean,
that offense was pretty good. You didn't like it?
I did not.
It set back football like 80 years.
I mean, it was brutal. And understand, like, I'm a Redskins fan. I have a high tolerance for crappy football.
You know what bad football
is. Even
looks
still,
like.
I recognize it from one play. And yet, so everything that went that could have gone wrong went wrong for David Johnson. And still, because the volume was so insane, finishes the ninth best running back in fantasy. And I know he's frustrating to have on your team, but still, I expect better things for that offense for a lot of reasons. We're going to talk about Kyler Murray coming up in a second here. But I think that, and this, we'll get into Melvin Gordon here in a second, Field, but I don't know how you feel. Like, you and I both are we get invited to the various expert leagues or industry leagues. And so I've already done three real drafts, not even counting like best ball or anything like that. I've done three real drafts of leagues that are going to play out. Here we are on August 5th. And this was the same case last year. So like I drafted Le'Veon Bell on a two of those July teams when you still thought
last year. Yep.
Last year thinking that he was going to play because at the time in July last year, Le'Veon Bell was like, I'm going to be there week one. His agent was like, no, he's reporting. He probably won't. He wants a new deal, but blah, 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 blah.
September 1, right?
September 1, right. And then, of course, none of that ends up happening. And I believe that so, and I was obviously very frustrated. And so I believe, and there's a lot of people that did that. And so I think what happened with Le'Veon Bell last year has tremendous impact, not in the National Football League, but also in fantasy, right? And so from the National Football League, I think that's why you think you have to take the holdouts of Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon very seriously. That I believe, and we can decide whether it was right or wrong, but I think there is a view among at least some players in the NFL that, like, Le'Veon got his. Le'Veon held out the whole year and still ended up signing a big deal with the Jets. It worked out for Le'Veon. Personally, I think he left money on the table, but whatever.
Yeah.
There is that belief, and so I think from a fantasy perspective, there's people that, like, whoa, this is a real thing. Like, you think, eventually they'll show up, and you saw what happened with Le'Veon last year, and you're like, no, maybe not. And so for me, the reason I have Ezekiel Elliott at 7 and it may eventually move him down further is I don't think there are any questions with the first six guys. And
ahead of him, yep.
That I personally have ahead of him. That, you know, Barkley, McCaffrey, Kamara, David Johnson, Devontae Adams, and DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think there's any question about their talent or opportunity this year. There is about Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, so I feel the same way about Ezekiel Elliott as well. I've got him at 4. I think I'm in overall ranks. I might have him 5 still. So very close to where you are at with Zeke. Melvin Gordon, I think, is a little bit more.
Do you just gut, because you're your NFL insider Field Yates. You're breaking news, by the way. Broke big story yesterday about Tom Brady. Congratulations on that.
Thank you, my friend.
About his contract extension. I just want to say this, by the way. Can you give a guy some credit? Field Yates legitimately broke a big story yesterday. It got I got 8 billion alerts. First on the Fantasy Life app, but then a bunch of other alerts as
NBD.
Well.
NBD.
Yeah, NBD. And, some of them, according to ESPN's Field Yates, but a lot of them didn't say it at all. And I think that's baloney, just so you know.
He's Field Yates.
Thank you. That's right, Dan.
You know what? You give my boy some love.
Right. If you're not going to credit me, you might as well at least include this sounder in your tweet. Like, is that too much
asking.
To ask?
Well, we're
that
asking.
Thing's widely distributed.
Buy a couple
it?
Of Yaters Gonna Yate shirts.
Yeah,
do something.
It. Yeah,
give
doubt.
The boy some love.
So
anyway,
I think where you're going is with Zeke is what do you think ends up happening?
Yeah, exactly. So when you're talking to insiders, you're talking to team sources. I'm just curious how you feel about that situation. You talk to Zeke's camp.
I think of the two, Zeke Elliott is more likely to work itself out with a new contract. I do. And I know that there is a massively different case, 2 years versus 1 year. They've got other players to pay and Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper. But, and we've talked about this, over the past 3 years, Ezekiel Elliott has 11 more games with 20-plus rushes than any other player in the NFL. 70% of the Cowboys games that he has played in, he has handled at least 20 carries. He and Leonard Fournette are really the only two running backs right now in the NFL where it pretty much means that the offense runs through them, quite literally.
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon, a little bit different case. But let's discuss where...
And the other thing is that you look at sort of the depth chart there.
Yeah.
I mean... Rant jokes aside,
good try. Yeah.
It's right. It's Alfred Morris. It's Tony Pollard. It's Darius Jackson. Like, I mean, so at least in with the Chargers case, there's a little bit more versatility and experience behind Melvin Gordon than there is necessarily in Dallas behind Ezekiel Elliott. I thought this stat was amazing, by the way. Ezekiel Elliott ended last year with seven straight games of 5 or more catches.
Yep.
As we enter this season, among all positions, only Travis Kelce has a longer streak of consecutive games with 5-plus catches. We think about him as a battering ram, but the fact is, last year he really improved his usage in the passing game as well. So he's a bigger part of the offense. I mean, he's a massive part of what Dallas wants to do offensively.
If he shows up tomorrow and we had a draft tomorrow night and you took him first overall, I'd say, whatever, great job, nice pick by you. The only thing I was going to say about Alfred Morris and the offseason that I'll miss is I sort of live to troll during the offseason, you specifically. We've got too much going on now. I'll try to be nice going forward.
No, it's fine.
One more piece.
It's totally fine. The Alfred Morris rant will live forever.
It will live forever.
So it's completely fine.
Melvin Gordon, we also mentioned him, Matthew. Yeah. A little bit different circumstance just because, as I mentioned, it's the final year of his contract. And, you know, the Chargers feel like they've got a better plan of attack if Melvin Gordon does not show up. I have moved Melvin Gordon down to running back 9 in my rankings, and I could probably make the case to slide him down even further. He has been very clear. He has been more public with his demands of a trade or a new contract. So if he doesn't get the new contract, he wants to get traded. I'm having a hard time, Matthew.
Say that again. So you have him where?
I have him running back 9 right now.
Okay.
So
I have him as a running back 14.
Okay.
I moved him down to running back 14, and in my overall ranks, I have him at 26.
Yeah.
I'm as a third rounder because this one gives me the heebie-jeebies, Field.
Yeah, it does. I mean, he has made it clear he wants to be traded. He has threatened to hold out significant portion of games, 5 games. Like, he could literally sit out until October and it would not be a surprise. And I think because of that, you know, the Chargers are sort of prepared right now. Yeah. They have Justin Jackson. They have Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
They've been there, done that with these guys a little bit before. And I'm not trying to make people think that I'm on a running back wins matter thing. But last year, you know how they did in the four games that Austin Melvin Gordon missed, Matthew?
How'd they do?
4 wins, 0 losses.
Wow.
Again, not to devalue Melvin, but the point is merely this, is that, hey, Melvin Gordon is an incredible talent and an incredible player. But if you're Chargers GM Tom Telesco and their head coach Anthony Lynn, the show has to go on. Sure. And that's where they're at.
Yeah, I mean, in their last report I saw something like they're like $2 to $3 million a year apart. And I just sort of feel like we talk about this, and I wrote my big draft day piece, the other day, right? And so we just talk about being risk averse early on. And you can't tell me there isn't risk with Melvin Gordon. Like, because if Melvin Gordon sits out 8 games, you can't sit there and go like, well, this came out of nowhere. Like,
bypass your first round pick.
I was legitimately mad at Le'Veon Bell last year because I felt like he was disingenuous. I don't mind. Listen, I've tweeted this before. I am pro player. Like I have a relationship.
As a player yourself?
Yes. Well, no, but I have a relationship with the NFLPA. Like, yeah. I have a long-term relationship with the NFLPA, which I enjoy very much. They've been great to me. I love working with them. I am pro player, right? And I have tried in various different ways to try to help NFL players maximize their potential by earning some money from fantasy. And so I am pro player. I am get your money when you can. You have a short shelf life. My issue with Le'Veon Bell last year wasn't that he held out all year, was that he said up until the day before the season started, I'm showing up. He gave an on the record interview to Jeremy Fowler saying, I'm coming there during the bye week. You know, our own Jeremy Fowler.
Did that happen or no?
No, he did not. So I just I don't like people who lie. Like, and so here's Melvin Gordon who's saying I'm prepared to hold out. Like, so believe a player when he tells you something. And so I don't understand how you can feel comfortable. I'm as a third rounder. And even then it's sort of nerve wracking, right?
Sure. I mean, again, if you take him in the third round and you just 26th overall and he doesn't play for 8 games, you are punting on the 25th pick in your fantasy draft.
My Ezekiel Elliott ranks and Melvin Gordon ranks could easily drop even further as we get more news.
The closer
further into training camp, close to the season, and they're not in camp or they're not with the team, it makes you nervous. Just real quickly about Eckler and Jackson. I think they're about, do you have a preference there? I prefer Eckler a little bit.
Just for
PPR.
Game impact,
right. Yeah. But if you just look at what they did, the first game without Melvin Gordon last year, Eckler pretty much dominated the touches. But from that point forward, it's pretty much an even split in terms of both had basically double-digit fantasy points per game. Jackson scored 2 touchdowns. Eckler scored 1. It just basically was, a real running back by committee.
Same city, different team, the Rams, Los Angeles. Todd Gurley is maybe the riskiest player going into fantasy football this year that is not currently in a holdout, Matthew. Yeah. Over the past 2 seasons, he has 40 touchdowns. The next closest player is Alvin Kamara with 31. He has been the best player in fantasy football over the past 2 seasons. And yet, at the end of last year, that knee was clearly not right, and Todd Gurley became a backup running back for Los Angeles.
A guy they'd signed a month ago.
Yeah, CJ Anderson, guy that been, off the streets.
To a guy that the Raiders and the Panthers at earlier that year had said, we're better off without you.
Yeah, I mean,
the Raiders had cut him. He couldn't make the Raiders.
He went
and there he was carrying the ball in the Super Bowl a month later.
There was this story about, he signs with the Raiders, his hometown team, he's going to live with his mother.
Yeah.
He got cut 2 days later. It's good thing he stayed with mom. He'd be throwing away rent money.
What are you doing?
It's unbelievable that CJ Anderson went that many different teams last year.
I look forward to the 30 for 30 on CJ Anderson's
2018
season.
Yeah, he almost won a Super Bowl. That would have been crazy, too.
Right.
Anyways.
He's
Todd
now
Gurley,
part of the Detroit Lions, part of the Detroit Lions. And I should say very quickly, as long as we're bringing that up, very quickly, we had a great live show in Detroit. Thank you to everyone that came out and supported 0601 Nation. Hundreds of people there. It was awesome. We were at the shelter. We were at St. Andrew's Hall, but also the shelter where Eminem raps. You and I got a rap game on. We have 2 more live shows coming up that we'll announce very soon, so FYI.
By the way, shout out to the Lions. Great content coming for the fantasy show with the Lions. You guys,
the Lions,
are
were great hosts. We went out to their training facility, and we sat in Matt Patricia's press conference, and yeah, Lions were great hosts. Absolutely.
So
I have to find something else to give Daniel Dobbs crap about.
Okay, we'll work on that part. Yeah. Todd Gurley, past two seasons, as I mentioned, 40 touchdowns. But again, the knee issue is legitimate, Matthew. At what point do you feel comfortable drafting Todd Gurley? Because as of right now, Matthew, we have no more information about how available, how ready, how prepared Todd Gurley will be. It sounds like, if I were to read the tea leaves right now, the Rams go into this season expecting Todd Gurley to be available for every game, like every healthy player. However, it does not sound like they are preparing to give Todd Gurley 25 touches a game anymore. It sounds like those days may be behind us.
Yeah, and so all touches are not created equal, okay? And so, listen, 15 touches in a Sean McVay offense.
Pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet.
20 touches otherwise, yeah.
Right, exactly. So, look, when they get in close, who are they giving it to? They're still going to give it to Todd Gurley.
Right.
So red zone looks, high impact looks, goal line looks. Like, he's still going to be the guy that scores the most, who scores the most rushing touchdowns on the Rams this year. I think we would both take Todd Gurley in a landslide, right?
Assuming most touchdowns, period.
Right. Yeah, who scores the most touchdowns of any Rams skill player? We would both take Todd Gurley. So I think there will be a reduction in role here, but there is certainly risk, right? And Stefania's talked about this, and I'm certainly no Stefania Bell, but what she's talked about is that
debatable.
I think her concern is more long-term and degenerative than it is necessarily this particular season. Like, I would lower him much more in my dynasty ranks if you were doing a dynasty startup this year. We're doing a dynasty startup. Me and Secret Squirrel and you and I think Not Cool Keith. Is Not Cool Keith in that league?
Yep, he sure is.
Did Thirsty Kyle into that?
Yeah, he barely did, but he made it.
What about the Statapillar? Is the Statapillar in it?
Statapillar is in that league as well.
Yeah, Damian Dabrowski, the Statapillar from the fantasy show on ESPN Plus. So, it's a bunch of, and I think Stefania's in there and Mike Clay's in it. So the whole crew. And it'll be very interesting to see where Todd Gurley goes this year. I will say this. The Daryl Henderson thing is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Like, Daryl Henderson is going like an explosive player.
Yep.
But he's going as if people are like, oh, it's going to be a running back by committee.
Yeah, not going to be a running back by committee.
No. Like, here's what Daryl Henderson's going to be. Daryl Henderson's going to be Chris Thompson in the Sean McVay offense that he ran in Washington. It's going to be Chris Thompson. It's going to be like 8 to 10 to 12 touches a game. High impact one. Get him, try to get him in space. He's got crazy speed. He's got big playability here. But if something were to happen to Todd Gurley, I believe it would be Malcolm Brown, who they matched the offer from Detroit and they signed. I think you'd see an uptick in Daryl Henderson's touches. But I don't think Daryl Henderson is the true handcuff to Todd Gurley, and he's being drafted as such. He's going as running back 37 in the 11th round.
Yeah, I agree on that part. I think that he has got the chance to be the... So Malcolm Brown only exists in the fantasy world if Todd Gurley is not playing.
Correct.
Henderson exists... whoever is playing,
100%.
But he will never be the running back on the Rams that you most want to play in a given week.
Yes, I agree. I think that's well said.
Brown will always be the guy that will be the the Todd Gurley facsimile if we get to that point.
Yeah, and if you're playing in a best ball draft or something like that, I love Malcolm Brown late.
Sure,
But anyway, to answer your question about Todd Gurley, so I currently have him at running back 6. I have at number 9 overall. Again, after Barkley, McCaffrey, Kamara, David Johnson, I do have Elliott. I have Adams and Hopkins. I have Elliott, and I have Beckham.
Yeah. So
I don't think there's any questions about any of those players with the exception of Elliott. And so then you get into Elliott versus Gurley, which one has more question marks, and it's a little bit of a toss-up.
Yeah, and on August 5th, it's really difficult to answer that question. Todd Gurley, though, will continue to monitor it. Here's my thing on Todd Gurley. Whereas we'll get more information on Zeke and Melvin Gordon, we will not get more information on Todd Gurley. You have to kind of go into this season with an optimistic view if you use a first-round pick on
Todd Gurley. Is he a first-round pick for you?
I think he is a late first-round pick for me. Yes,
we agree
on
that.
Like a top 10 player, but more like a number 10 player as opposed to a top 10 player.
I literally have him at 9, right? If you wanted to take Mixon over him, I get it because I think Mixon is safe in terms of his volume.
Who's got the better chance 15 touchdowns, though?
Right.
Not close.
100%.
Right?
Gurley. So it just depends on sort of what player you are, because it's a little risky for the first round, but obviously the upside is massive.
All right, camp storylines coming up, but first, Fantasy Focus is sponsored by ADT. What does real protection mean for our downloaders, not listeners? You can get all of the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT, combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure home just for you. You get 18,000.
What?
That's a lot of employees safeguarding you with connection to first responders. You get the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can get a secure smart home with everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights, controlled from the ADT app or the sound of your voice. It's like Siri. You can get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. You get a system custom designed to fit your home. You can get safety on the go, in the car, or when their kids are at school with the ADT Go app with an SOS button. So check out ADT and support them because they support us. That was a ton of stuff. My suggestion to you, if you have a house, go find ADT.
Sounds like anything that you need, ADT would be able to cover it is what it sounds like. I mean, with 18,000, Britney's working for them too. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, Stefania's even jealous of ADT. All right, we're about a week into training camp, and some teams have been in for longer.
By the way, I just got two quick alerts from the Fantasy Life app.
Let's hear them.
Which, by the way, is, you know,
crushing it.
Crushing it. It's free. Free to get. First off, I thought these were both interesting. I just want your quick reaction to this. First off, Houston Chronicle's John McClain, who's great, a legend. He reports the Texans are not interested in trading for Melvin Gordon.
Okay.
Obviously, with Deontay Foreman being released, there was talk about where Melvin Gordon might go, and are the Texans looking for running back depth? You know, that doesn't feel like a landing spot. But anyway, John McClain, who has a great pulse on the Texans, has covered that team for years. He's a legend. Anyway, he's reporting that that they don't have any interest in Melvin Gordon. And then one of his interests is also that Peter King. Peter King, the great Peter King, another legend, reporting that Andrew Luck thinks he'll be ready by week one.
So I think, if I'm not mistaken,
okay, we talk about Andrew Luck coming up?
No, we don't. We do not. But Andrew Luck, very interesting. The calf situation is concerning right now. Yeah. He has not practiced for quite some time. I think he's taken three separate MRIs. I'm not a big medical guy. Stefania is, but that doesn't sound good. Let's keep our eyes out there on Andrew Luck, and I think that Stefania will have more information because the Colts always are a stop for her during her training camp.
Yeah, that is where she is, by the way. I would love to give Stefania grief and say she's boondoggling. She probably is at some point, but she's on a training camp tour at the moment. We'll get into that. But I will tell you that I had Andrew Luck ahead of Aaron Rodgers, and I've flipped them now. Again, there's now real... There's a little bit of concern with Andrew Luck.
So let's get to three storylines from the first week of training camp that we're keeping an eye on, Matthew. Again, it's early. It's only August 5th. Only two teams have actually played a preseason game. But Antonio Brown's got some nasty feet. If you haven't seen him, don't go on Instagram and look him up because they're nasty. They honestly are disgusting. They're filthy. They're vile. They might look like I you know what? I was going to say they look like yours, but...
I was just going to say that.
Wow.
I don't want to be that guy. I don't
want to
be mean. You know
what? We need to get a side-by-side. Will you take a shot of your feet and post them on Instagram, Matthew?
Yeah, I don't have bad feet.
Well,
we'll be the judge.
Let us be the judge, yeah.
Wait, when have you guys seen my feet?
Never,
by design. I've seen far more of you than I have ever cared to working on the TV show with you.
Okay, Daniel. That just got real.
If you go to my Instagram, at Matthew Berry TMR, there is actually a shot of my feet. Like, I took a feet in the sand.
No, you did. I remember that.
The most electric shot of the summer. Two hot dogs emanating from Matthew's body. Like, honestly, the most electric thing that I saw all summer. My wedding photos got nothing on Matthew's leg shot at the beach.
I've missed a few leg days. I've definitely
defined a few, everyone?
All of them.
Okay. Antonio Brown's got nasty feet. And right now, Matthew, he's not practicing. He is still on the non-football injury list. As a matter of fact, the only thing he's done in terms of practice so far is basically warm up one day.
Right.
Concerned, not concerned, interesting. How do you define this?
Not be concerned? How can you not be? Like,
you're a hopeful Raiders fan, the only way.
So I have him at wide receiver 8.
Okay.
And I'm worried that's too high, honestly. So again, you get into sort of question marks in terms of, so you're already nervous. Going from Big Ben to Derek Carr is a downgrade.
Yep.
It is.
It is,
And one of the things that made those two, Big Ben and Antonio Brown, so special is all those off-schedule plays where Big Ben would extend the play and come out there, and it's a little bit of backyard football, right? And Antonio's waves his hand, and then next thing you know, it's a 60-yard touchdown, right? And Antonio Brown's made some amazing catch, and Ben's hit him on the numbers. And so that just comes from years upon years upon years of playing together. And obviously, he doesn't have that experience with Derek Carr. So you're nervous about that. You're nervous about the fact that we don't expect the Raiders, even though they made a lot of additions, and I'm a fan of John Gruden and Greg Olson, their offense coordinator, but it's a work in progress for that team. and we'll get to see them during Hard Knocks. But the fact is that offense, we don't expect to click at the same rate or to be as nearly as efficient as the Steelers were during the Antonio Brown, Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell heyday.
Right.
And so now you get all that along with the fact he's 31 years old or will be on, he just turned 31, last month. He has not played 16 games in three straight seasons. Right?
I think but the good news is that he has not played 16, but it's like he's missed, you know, one or two.
Sure,
in those,
sure.
Right? But I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So I'm just,
it's a concern.
My point is that at this level of where he's going in drafts, you have to nitpick a little bit.
Sure.
And so the question is like, right, the fact that he hasn't practiced yet, does it make you nervous? Obviously.
That's where I think it rears itself. If you are debating between maybe Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Sure.
Which is a very, you know, that's very common, right? Like, that's something we're seeing a lot right now. People are, Juju AB. Juju would take the lead. Separate, yes, and apart from the fact that Juju's had a great camp, he's an awesome player.
Yep.
Like, the foot injury could actually be the difference between Antonio Brown and Juju as of right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm seeing Antonio Brown, like, I'm just looking at our ADP.
Yep.
On ESPN.com. And Antonio Brown is basically going right now between Odell Beckham Jr. and Juju Smith-Schuster. He's going a couple of picks between Beckham and Juju. So people are deciding between AB or Juju.
Right.
And some people are choosing between AB and Odell Beckham Jr. because this is obviously an average. Like,
if I was doing a draft right now, not even close. Definitely OBJ and definitely Juju ahead of AB.
Can I ask a couple more questions outside of that?
Field. Sure.
Sorry. Matthew's rubbing off on me.
I know. He really is. Okay. Yep. So here's this. Would you take Keenan Allen over Antonio Brown right now?
I wouldn't roll my eyes, but I'd still go with AB.
I have Antonio Brown ranked higher than him, one spot higher, but, no, actually, that's not even true. I think it's two spots. But it's, it's two spots because I have Mike Evans at 9, but, it's close.
It's close.
Like, I agree with Field.
Sort of the tiers conversation. So I don't have there's not an appreciable difference between them.
Two weeks from now, if AB's still not there, totally, then I think it's a very different conversation. Yep. But it's interesting. Tyreek Hill's going 5th overall, which I did not realize. I have Tyreek at 7.
It's certainly skyrocketed since we got news that he was not going to be punished at all for this upcoming season. But it's so the good news for wide receivers, one theme that I know will highlight a lot during the next month. Wide receiver is so deep this
crazy
year.
Deep.
It's insane. There are tons of good wide receivers to pick up. There's also lots of good quarterbacks, Matthew. So let's turn our attention to the number one overall pick in this year's draft. It's Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray went number one overall to the Cardinals, and they all of a sudden have some life in their offense. Matthew, perhaps because the NFL seemed a bit hesitant on Kyler Murray for a while, slow to gravitate towards Kyler Murray. Hey, he's only 5'10 or whatever his actual height is. Maybe that contributed to me feeling a bit of the same way. Is it possible that Kyler Murray entered this year underrated and is all of a sudden going to break? Can you be a breakout if you never played a game before?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. Is he a prime candidate for it?
100%. So so he's going as QB14.
Okay.
On average on ESPN.com.
That's what I meant.
Which I think is fairly high.
Yep.
I think it's too low, though.
Ooh, interesting.
I think it's fairly high just in that, a rookie quarterback going 14, given how deep it is, right? But I have him as a top 10 player. I have him as QB 10. I think this kid is special. And I think, in addition to being a special player, I think his potential for fantasy numbers is off the charts.
Right. So here's, okay.
Can I make my argument for Kyler Murray at 10 real quickly?
Yep.
First off, obviously a fantasy-friendly offense here under Cliff Kingsbury. Like, they are going to throw. Okay? I don't think people realize so much was discussed about his height, and people are aware of the rushing, obviously. This is a guy that ran for over 1,000 yards in college last year.
Yep.
I don't think people realize how accurate a thrower he is. So one of the questions we're coming into the NFL, people like, well, Lamar Jackson, we know he's crazy athletic. We know he can run, but accuracy is an issue. Same with Josh Allen, right? Here's a guy that actually ran more than I think people expected. But obviously that contributed to his fantasy numbers last year, but also struggled with accuracy. Kyler Murray is crazy accurate. His numbers at Oklahoma, basically the same accuracy numbers as Baker Mayfield the year before.
Sure.
And Baker Mayfield's already one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yep.
So I don't think you guys understand how good Kyler Murray can be. And I guess my argument is that if everything works the way it can for Kyler Murray in terms of the rushing and the throwing, guy could easily be a top 3-4 fantasy quarterback.
Correct.
Yep. Right? That's within the realm of possibility. And my argument here, Field, is that the quarterback position is so deep. We're going to talk about the Vikings coming up in a little bit. I got Kirk Cousins at QB 21.
Right.
Who's a great quarterback. So quarterback is so deep that my point is that if Kyler Murray doesn't work out, you will be able to find an adequate replacement, and he's worth the gamble because of the upside.
So you just established the ceiling. I think the floor is kind of interesting here because I was thinking to myself, like, how does it not go right for Kyler Murray? Because I have zero questions that he will make his mark with his legs. He's the best athlete at quarterback right now, or right in the mix, right? Yeah. And he's one of the three best athletes at quarterback the minute he walks into the NFL. He's a much more accurate passer than Lamar Jackson was, to extrapolate that comparison you just made a minute ago. So here's how it doesn't work. Is if the passing game is completely stuck in the mud because none of these receivers are any good yet.
Right.
Right. Larry Fitzgerald is incredible. First ball at Hall of Famer.
100%.
35 years old. Right. Sure. Like, he's a different player than he was 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 12 years ago.
Of course.
The rest of them are basically unproven. I like Christian Kirk
the
most out of all the young wide receivers, but what if Andy Isabella's got a sore knee, doesn't come around? What if Keyshawn Johnson does not come around? What if Hakeem Butler doesn't come around? Like, that's the way that if he only throws 18 touchdown passes this year, it's going to have to be a stupid, crazy, productive rushing year for him to reach top 10. But I'm with you. I'm interested. And I am definitely taking the bait on what we've seen so far from Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I guess my slight counter to that, and then we can move on here, would be that you also have David Johnson there, who's one of the best pass-catching running backs in the NFL. It's one of the reasons I have him at 5. So I think he's going to be a big part of that passing offense. And Larry Fitzgerald at 35 is still better than, you know, a lot of wide receivers in the NFL. Is he Larry Fitzgerald at 29? No, he is not. But, yeah, and I do like Christian Kirk. But there's no question. There's questions around the offensive line. There are questions whether Kingsbury's offense will work in the NFL.
Sure.
We've seen it, like, with Chip Kelly. We've seen college geniuses come into the NFL with different offenses, and they're not always work. Sure. So, I get it. There is some risk there with Kyler Murray. My argument is that given the depth of the position, the risk is worth it.
One more here before we get to the Minnesota Vikings. It's Damian Williams. Damian Williams for the Chiefs. He's got a quad issue right now.
Right.
It's been bothering him for like a week, and it sounds like Andy Reid is pretty frustrated, to put it candidly. Matthew, there are other players in this backfield that we are aware of, most specifically Carlos Hyde. You worried at all about Damian Williams? Like, is he one of those players that could lose his job due to injury? Like, there are some guys that, like, if Saquon misses a week, he shows back up the eighth day and is like, oh, by the way, I'm still the best player on this team by far. Damian Williams, is he not one of those players? Is he somebody that the minute that he starts to lose his grip on this job ever so slightly, all of a sudden you go into panic mode?
Good question.
Thank you.
And so,
I spent all offseason waiting for
me,
that one.
For me, no.
Right.
For a lot of other people drafting in fantasy, maybe. And for Andy Reid, remains to be seen. I think that one of the things that gives me some comfort here is who else we're dealing with, right? So we're dealing with Carlos Hyde.
Right.
I know they're trying to talk up Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde's also a candidate to be cut. Carlos Hyde is 29 years old and on his fourth team in the last 15 months or whatever it is.
Right.
Right? I mean, like, Cleveland got rid of him. Jacksonville got rid of him. The 49ers got rid of him. I mean, so now he's in Kansas City on a cheap deal.
Yeah.
On a dirt cheap deal. It's not going to cost him anything. So then you look at who else they got. They got undrafted Darrell Williams. They got 5'8" Darwin Thompson. And I like Darwin Thompson.
Sure.
But Darwin Thompson is, like, the best case scenario for Darwin Thompson is Philip Lindsay. And I think that's probably not right. I think he's more of as we're talking, like, Chris Thompson, Daryl Henderson. Like, I feel like he's I saw one person, one article refer to him as a jitterbug. You know what I mean? Like, just, like,
is
he's
that a compliment?
Guy. Yeah, it was in the article
intended,
it was written,
for a compliment.
Intended to be
okay.
A compliment. But I guess
he's kind of a jitterbug, you know?
Right,
that?
Right. I wish I was a jitterbug. I'm a fat bug.
You're a snail.
I'm a snail is what I am. So, but anyway, like, so he's small and fast is what he is, what
right.
Darwin Thompson is. And so I think with Damian Williams, who was very productive last year, right? His last six games, when you include the playoffs, 24.4 fantasy points per game. Guy averaged 1.39 fantasy points per touch, better than Alvin Kamara, Melvin Gordon, Christian McCaffrey, Todd Gurley, Saquon Barkley, just to give you an example. It's all small sample size here. But we do have a large sample size on the starting running back in Andy Reid's offense. And whoever that guy is always fantasy productive. So your question is, it's like, who's going to be that guy? And so barring them trading for somebody, barring them trading for Melvin Gordon, which I don't think is likely.
It would be sweet, though.
Could you imagine?
It's not going to happen, but it would be sweet.
Melvin Gordon suddenly goes to like a top three running back.
Right.
Like,
scores 38 touchdowns.
Right, 100%. But barring that, like, we talked earlier in the pre-show meeting, like Damian Williams signed a deal, which was what? What were the details?
It's a 2-year extension worth up to $8 million. Better right. money than Carlos Hyde.
Yeah.
He's going to have to work hard to get that $8 million, but right. still. Like, you
but
know,
it was real
not
money. It wasn't
deal.
Like, it's not crazy. It's not crazy. Like, we can't, yeah. if he completely, you know, is awful that we can't get rid of him money, but it is, it's a sign of confidence.
Non-insignificant amount of money is what I would
and
say.
And the last thing I will say here is that at the Combine, I was talking with a member of the Chiefs. I'll just leave it at that.
Patrick Mahomes.
Right. I was talking,
sorry.
I was doing shots with Patrick and, you know, we're hanging out. No, but I was talking with somebody, and at that point, Spencer Ware was still on the team. And so I asked this person whether what they thought of, you know, who would be the guy next year. And it was me, Damian Williams. Love Damian Williams. I'm like, what about Spencer Ware? And, like, are you guys going to keep him? Do you know what's going on there? And this person just rolled their eyes. You know what I mean? Like, which, right. And just, and I didn't take it so much as a shot at Spencer Ware, but just like,
We
like Damian Williams a lot.
Here's our guy.
He's our guy. So that's how I interpreted that in particular interaction.
And it does sound like he'll be back on the field soon, which is a good thing
soon.
For the Chiefs.
So I'm not panicking just yet. I have Damian Williams right now as my number 8 running back. So
the
I have a high.
Upside is tremendous.
Upside is tremendous. And you start getting into question marks after that. But if he misses a little bit more time, I'll drop him a little bit. But I've seen him going in the third rounds, and I think that's an absolute steal. I currently have him as a second rounder.
All right, so it's supposed to be the mid-roll, but we're 45 minutes into the show. We'll be right back.
Fantasy, you're in the 06-010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy. Focus.
So we're in mid-season form. Double Trouble is going to be a theme of ours throughout the month of August. For those new listeners, welcome aboard. We hope to get a bunch of new listeners this year. Tweet us if you're new, if you have any questions about a joke that might not make sense to you.
I think we have some new listeners, Field, because I just found out. Matthew, did you see this?
No. What?
Big Lead did an article on Field Yates.
What?
Here's the thing. They did top 40 sports media talents under 40.
Oh.
Who says I'm under 40?
It could be top 40 media talents under 30.
Yes.
He didn't make the list, too. He make the list. That's
he
nice.
He ranked as 21 overall.
21 overall. Who's number 20?
Number 20, I believe. Hold on, let me look. Ooh, this is going to be tough. Jay Williams.
Oh, Jay's way better than I am. Way better.
Yeah. Who's number 19?
Number 19 is Molly Kieram.
We love Molly.
What's up, Molly?
Yeah. Wow, okay. Who's number 18?
Number 18.
I'm trying to find somebody I can insult.
18 is Chris Haynes from Yahoo.
I don't even know who that is.
He's working at ESPN.
Used to. Not
used
anymore.
To. That's right. We live our
Field should be 18.
Bubble.
Number 2.
Field should absolutely be ahead of Chris Haynes.
Just so you know, number 2 is Big Cat and PFT, and number 1 is Tony Romo. So, you know.
I guess that makes
three
sense.
Three football guys. What do you know?
a couple of big J journalists.
That's probably
there.
the first list that Tony Romo is ranked number 1 on in quite some time.
Hey-o! Wow. Daniel off the top rope.
Wow.
Time out.
I like that.
Double.
But that makes sense. Obviously, yeah, Romo's not 40. He's amazing. We love Big Cat and PFT. So I have no issues with the top 2.
Yeah, hopefully we get some new listeners thanks to Field's new fame.
Yeah, well, thank you to the Big Lead for recognizing Field. Who's number 22?
Who did he podcast. Beat?
He beat out Albert Breer.
Yeah, take that, Albert Breer.
Wow.
Boom. I thought Albert Breer was over 40.
Double trouble.
Double.
Trouble.
Trouble.
Double trouble.
Double
trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
I missed that. If you missed our Lions preview, listen to last Tuesday's show. It was Tuesday, right?
Did we already do the mid-roll?
Yeah, we did.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, moving along here. The Vikings
or something.
Vegas win total is 9.
Ooh. Hey, speaking of Vegas, real quick, I announced this on Friday. I am doing a show in Vegas. Coming out to Vegas. So here's what I'm doing. August 16th and 17th.
Okay. Next
Friday night, August 16th.
Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
Friday
sorry.
Night,
Friday,
August
Saturday.
16th. I will be at Caesar's Palace doing a Q&A and a party and a lot of fun. You can check it out at caesars.com/Barry. And then on the 17th, I am hosting a bunch of drafts. So it's a very limited circle, but come have your draft at the link. Which is across the street from Caesars. It's on the Strip in their sports book. Your draft will be broadcast on a 98-inch TV screen.
Wow.
Ton of booze, all-you-can-eat buffet, and then I'm hosting your draft, and I'm giving you guys crap about your picks, and I'm grading your draft after it, and we'll do pictures and the whole thing and videos. And so, anyway, so it should be a lot of fun. I think there's only spots for 12 leagues left. That's okay. August 17th, Saturday in Las Vegas. Go to Caesars.com/Barry. If you'd like to sign up, that'll be fun. Come see me.
That weekend, I'll be at the Cisco Brewery on Nantucket. If you have any fantasy questions, I'm glad to answer them. And it's also lots of booze there at
right.
a brewery.
Just try to get to field before the third or fourth beer. the answers get worse as the afternoon goes on. Fields at the Cisco Brewery.
Joe Flagg in the first round.
I love the Cisco Brewery.
You're damn right you do.
Yeah.
Love it. That was best place on earth.
It was really good.
All right, so there's so many quarterbacks that are good this year, Matthew, which is why Kirk Cousins, as you mentioned earlier, is not even a top 20 ranked quarterback this year. It feels weird because it was a down season last year in terms of expectations, right? They did not meet them. The numbers can sort of paint a different story. Kirk Cousins wasn't terrible last year. 30 touchdown passes. He completed 70.1% of his passes. That was the second best in the NFL. Kirk Cousins, though, Matthew, what he was consistently above average, rarely great, and rarely poor.
Yeah.
The problem in fantasy football is your quarterback is an edge when he is not above average. He is well above average, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and the other concern here is that we know that the Vikings want to run the ball more. So they replaced
Moore.
Right, so Kevin Stefanski took over as the offense coordinator over the last three games of last year with the idea to want to be more emphatic in terms of the run game, that we want to emphasize the run game there. And so over the last three games, again, super small sample size, but it is what it is, he was quarterback 16. He averaged 15.8 fantasy points per game. And by the way, 15.8 fantasy points per game over a full season is basically just below Andy Dalton
last year
would have been, right? I mean, so I think the concern there is that one of the things that if you're going to be run heavy and you're going to have a very good defense, which is what we expect both things for the Minnesota Vikings this year.
Right.
You're not getting into crazy shootouts. Kirk Cousins was an elite fantasy quarterback with the Redskins for two reasons. One is their defense was awful, so he kept getting into shootouts, right? And secondly, his legs. He would run for four or five touchdowns, and he just wasn't doing that. And so these days, if you're not going to be passing for 4,500 yards and 40 touchdowns, you have to give me something with your legs. And even with a run-heavy offense, I think you'll see Kirk doing a little bit more bootleg stuff this year, but still it's hard to expect significant rushing numbers from him. And so in a run-heavy offense and scores that you would expect to be low because the defense we expect to be one of the better ones in the NFL, I have him just at QB 21. And he's a very good quarterback, but it just goes to show you how deep the position is field.
The position is very deep. This running back, this offense, as you said, Matthew, wants to be run-heavy. Kevin Stefanski has said many times now that they want to be run-oriented. Mike Zimmer has said as much. Anybody who's been to training camp there will tell you that's clearly the focus, which is why Dalvin Cook is a really interesting player this year, Matthew. Shot out like a cannon as a rookie. Was unbelievable coming out of Florida State before he got that knee injury early on in this rookie year. Last season was somewhat of a throwaway year. He got hot late, Matthew, but it took him a while to get to the point where we expected him to be. He had the hamstring issues. It was a frustrating season. Are we back in on Dalvin Cook? Fully geared up. Can he be a difference-making running back? Because if he is the healthy Dalvin Cook that we saw at the outset of his NFL career, the guy legitimately could be a top-five running back this season.
I kind of weirdly am. I'm normally risk-averse, but I'm sitting here looking at it. I have him at number 18 overall. His current ADP is 22nd overall. He's currently going as running back 11. I have him at running back 10, so I'm slightly higher on him in my ranks, and I'm a little bit higher on him in terms of the overall here. He is potentially a league winner. He is potentially a league winner. Look, if he can stay healthy, and obviously that is a massive if here, Field, but you think about his talent, right? And we've seen this for his career. He averages 4.7 yards per carry, right?
Good number.
He caught at least three passes in 9 of 11 games last year. We know he can be used in the passing game here. No Latavius Murray to vulture stuff from him, and we'll talk about Alexander Mattison in a second. But we expect Dalvin Cook to be the guy, and I don't think you can underestimate, not only does Kevin Stefanski want to run, but Gary Kubiak is on this staff.
Sure.
And I don't think you can underestimate the impact that Gary Kubiak can have for a running back, for the fantasy potential of a running back, especially somebody that has the skill set of Dalvin Cook. Last 5 years when Gary Kubiak ran the Houston Texans, They were fourth in running back fantasy points, the Texans were. They were third in red zone rush percentage. Obviously, a lot of that Arian Foster. But still, in his two seasons with Denver, Broncos ran the ball in the red zone in goal-to-goal situations at an above-average rate. Like, Gary Kubiak and that one-zone cut read, man, like, that works. And it's a perfect fit for what I think Dalvin Cook does well.
If you want to run the football a ton, the pieces have been put in place this offseason. You've hired, as you just mentioned, Gary Kubiak, who's an excellent job coordinator running game. You have a very good running back in Dalvin Cook, and you have an outstanding defense that will allow you to be able to run the football a ton because you're not going to be playing from behind as frequently as other teams will be, as you just mentioned. Dalvin Cook got hot in December last year, 5.69 yards per carry. I get it. That was a darn stretch. They went 2-3. It was not the most impressive showing.
But to your point, under Stefanski, weeks 15, 16, and 17, they were sixth in rush percentage, the Vikings were.
Yes, they were much more run-oriented last year, which is why Dalvin Cook, the stars may be aligning for him to re-cement himself as a player that could become a league winner in fantasy football this season.
To me, once you get past that top, you know, eight or nine, so you start getting into the dicey guys, right? So whether
there's
it's
a lot
Dalvin
of
Cook, right? Dalvin Cook, I consider Le'Veon Bell the dicey guy. I know not everyone does. We just talked about, you know, there are guys where there are question marks.
Yep.
Of the question mark guys, I don't know that there's anyone that has a higher upside, with the exception of maybe Le'Veon Bell, than Dalvin Cook.
I think Le'Veon Bell or James Conner, depending on whether you consider Conner a dicey guy, just because
I have in that dicey range because of the Jalen Samuels, Benny Snell stuff, and that offense is going to be slightly different, obviously. You take away Antonio Brown, I'm sorry, your offense takes a hit.
No question. I think the offense in Pittsburgh has more upside in terms of touchdowns, 100%. And then Le'Veon has more upside in terms of catching ability. But still, Dalvin Cook, a player we like, and it's always good to have a note tucked away on who should you be drafting if you are drafting a handcuff. This year, it's Alexander Mattison. He came out of Boise State, Matthew. Some people felt like he was overdrafted, but the Vikings loved him in the third round, and so far the early reviews are good. Not a lot of analysis, in my opinion, right now on Alexander Mattison, other than to file away that he would be the running back to draft if you take Dalvin Cook.
I think he's one of the highest, especially given how run-heavy we expect this team to be.
Yep.
And how injury-prone Dalvin Cook has been in his career. To me, he should be one of the first handcuffs drafted. And I'm not talking about the guys that are going to... I'm not talking about the Latavius Murrays of the world who has a role regardless of what happens to Alvin Kamara, right?
Right.
Or Daryl Henderson, who has a role regardless of what happens to Ty Gurley. I'm talking about, you know, just pure, their fantasy value is dependent on the health of another player. Once you get into that range, he should be one of the first guys off your field. To your point, he's the only player in FBS with at least 1,000 yards rushing, 12 rushing touchdowns, and 25 or more receptions each of the past two seasons. I interviewed Alexander Mattison out in L.A. In May at the NFLPA rookie premiere.
Yep.
And I asked him, and I said, has the coaching staff – it's still early. They, you know, it'd only been at, you know, the rookie camp. But I said, have they talked to you? And he's just like, yeah, goal line. He said, my expectation is – he said – I think I'll get some goal line work there. I think you'll see me in the backfield some with Dalvin as well, as a compliment
to Dalvin. I don't like that goal line part. Don't like it at all. I don't like the goal line part.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, just because of the fact that I'd be, you know, investing in Dalvin Cook.
100%. I get that. And listen, he's still young. But my point is like, all due respect to, like, Rock Thomas.
Longer there anymore.
Huh? Yes.
Rock Thomas gone.
Yeah. To my point.
Yeah, to your point. Rock Thomas is gone. Maybe the best wide receiver.
Who is it? Is Mike Boone still there? Who else is there? Like, all those guys. Huh?
Amir Abdullah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They signed Amir Abdullah.
We'll talk about maybe the best wide receiver duo in football. But first, the latest on Hard Knocks.
HBO Sports, NFL Films, and the Oakland Raiders team up for an unfiltered, all-access look at what it takes to make it in the National Football League. When Hard Knocks, training camp with the Oakland Raiders, kicks off its five-episode season Tuesday, August 6th. The new season of the groundbreaking sports reality series spotlights the historic AFC West franchise that has an intriguing mix of established veterans, highly regarded rookie hopefuls, and free agent acquisitions under head coach John Gruden. Each week, viewers will get an inside look as players experience the daily rigors of an NFL training camp as they compete for a roster spot. Don't miss Hard Knocks, training camp with the Oakland Raiders, Tuesdays at 10 p.m., kicking off August 6th, only on HBO.
We're headed to overtime here on the podcast. Let's get, whoa, hello, Midseason form, like I said. Let's discuss the Vikings wide receivers. Adam Thielen comes first only because his current ADP is slightly ahead of Stephon Diggs. Matthew, the best wide receiver in football the first half of last season. Is Adam Thielen closer to the guy that we saw at the beginning of the year, more like the guy that we saw at the end of the year when he was a non-startable player in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Where do we rest here? Like, is this going to settle in the middle somewhere, or is it possible that he actually gravitates towards, like, he's not going to be the guy that's a total non-factor. But yeah. Is he going to reassert himself as arguably a top five fantasy wide receiver every single week?
Well, you're a little concerned about the run-heavy nature of the offense.
And, right.
But I do think it's a little bit too much of a concern, right? And so forget numbers for a second. I think Adam Thielen's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
The Vikings do too. You know why? They paid him $70 million this offseason.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think he's just a special player. And so, like, Kirk Cousins, you don't pay Kirk Cousins $90 million to just hand off the ball. Will they be run heavy? Yes. Well,
that would be sweet.
But they are, right? Can you imagine? But they're still going to throw the ball. Even the most run heaviest teams in the NFL throw the ball.
Right.
And so, I mean, again, you can be. Think about the most run-heavy team in the NFL last year was the Seattle Seahawks. Tyler Lockett, still a very valuable fantasy commodity, obviously.
Yeah.
So they're going to throw the ball. And so I think Adam Thielen, and it does – Kirk Cousins, if you look at his career, has always loved the slot guy. He's more comfortable. He's more accurate when he's throwing between the numbers. And so when Thielen's numbers in the slot have been terrific, and you look at – you know, you go back to like sort of Jamison Crowder and sort of the Redskin days. And so to me, Adam Thielen – I still have him as a top 12 fantasy wide receiver. I mean, you know, the 9 touchdown receptions. Like, there was a stretch there last year where he was the number one wide receiver in fantasy. He was actually, he ended the year, even with that poor end to the season, still finished the year as the 7th best wide receiver in fantasy. He was a top 6 receiver in 6 straight weeks, weeks 2 through 7 there. So, yeah, for me, Adam Thielen, 9 touchdowns last year. You know, had a nose for the end zone. I prefer him to Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, and it's splitting hairs. I really do believe that. We get a lot of questions. Which Vikings wide receiver do you prefer? My retort is often this, Matthew. Like, you're not really choosing between them. You're choosing between who do you prefer amongst the likes of Adam Thielen versus a Brandon Cooks,
right,
or Adam Thielen versus an Amari Cooper. But still, Stephon Diggs, I agree with you. I do have Thielen just a little bit higher. Diggs last year saw his volume go up. 36% more catches per game last season than his career average prior to that point, but a career low in terms of 10 yards per catch. As a matter of fact, neither one of those guys was really a vertical threat last season. So I guess what we're kind of asking ourselves is this. We've got a run-heavy offense. We've got 2 elite wide receivers. Can a run-heavy offense carry 2 fantasy wide receivers?
I think they can carry 2 wide receiver twos. I mean, again, you like, because they don't have much else. Right. I mean, like, you
we'll
know, I mean, all due respect to Chad Beebe. And yeah, I mean, like, but right. I mean, like, it's going to be the Thielen and Diggs show. And it's one of the reasons why I'm more bullish on Thielen this year than not, even with the run heavy nature of the offense. And also because why I prefer Thielen to Diggs is that Diggs gets hurt.
Right.
Has never played 16 games in a season. And in fact, if you look at it, if you look at the numbers when Diggs is on the injury report, even if he's active and plays in the game, his numbers aren't great. He's just a guy that just, if there's anything wrong with him physically, he just isn't a guy that's able to produce fantasy numbers. And so the expectation, so that's why I prefer Thielen to Diggs. I think there's less risk with Thielen. And I do think there'll be times when Diggs is out of the game and you'll see a lot more targets towards Adam Thielen. They're both terrific. I mean, you know, he ended the year great. I think a touchdown in 6 of his last 8 for Stephon Diggs here. But again, just the injury history and a little bit more volatile. I feel there's a higher floor with Adam Thielen.
The numbers at the end of last year. No, we try not to focus simply on the year-end point totals for players in fantasy because they cannot be reflective. But I think in some ways, the year-end point total for each of these players last year was reflective of what they are. You said they can have 2 wide receiver twos. They do. That's right. Like, I think that neither one of these guys, if I had to bet the house on one of them being a wide receiver one, I'd bet Thielen. But I think both of them are like somewhere between the 11th and 15th best fantasy wide receivers this season. And I expect them to finish as such. They can both be sustained. And I know Kyle's telling me both of them were top 10 last year. That's okay. I think more reflective would be somewhere between 11 and 15.
Yeah, 100%. I think we think the talent will be there. We think a target share will be there, but we think ultimately they're not going to, their scoring games won't be as high, and so there are players out there with higher potential, and so they sort of eat into each other. But they can say, listen, the Rams have three number two wide receivers,
right?
I mean, I have Cooks, Woods, and Kupp all in that 11-20 range.
I think I have them in the exact range as well.
You know,
let's put a pin in the Vikings conversation with the tight ends, and we could talk about them as one because Kyle Rudolph's impact, or volume, is impacted by Irv Smith, their second round pick out of Alabama, an incredibly young prospect, a solid career there. It had a lot of accolades during his time with the Crimson Tide. Can he make a mark? And if so, does that mean that Kyle Rudolph's role has sort of been cannibalized?
It's weird. You would think that, except for the fact they paid Kyle Rudolph this offseason.
Right. Big-time extension.
Big, yeah. Big-time extension for him. I mean, when they drafted Irv Smith, you sort of thought, well, maybe the writing's on the wall for Kyle Rudolph, and yet then the opposite of it.
Right. It's weird.
Now, they saw what the Lions did with Jesse James and TJ Hawkinson. They were like, we got to follow suit with the leaders in the division.
Something I will say is that Kyle Rudolph is legitimately one of the most respected players in the NFL. Walter Payton Man of the Year award caliber of individual. Means a lot to that community in Minnesota. Him and his wife have done incredible work with the local hospital, especially for young children who have, you know, dealing with very difficult things. I don't want to say that that's the reason why the Vikings extended him, but he means more than just what the numbers tell you is what I'm trying to say.
That makes a ton of sense. By the way, Kyle Rudolph was the seventh best tight end in fantasy last year.
You want to win a bar bet?
No one, like, if you go to a bar and ask a random fantasy football player, hey, what do you think Kyle Rudolph finished last year? There's no way they come up with seven. I don't know, 12, 14, something like that. The quietest seventh best fantasy tight end season in history here. It's interesting. When I interviewed Irv Smith as well at the NFLPA rookie premiere, and I asked him, you know, have you been texting with Kirk? Have you talked? And he says, yeah, Kirk told me I remind him of Jordan Reed. And we talked about what Kirk did with Reed in Washington, which sort of, obviously, that makes my ears perk up. So I think Irv Smith is really interesting for dynasty leagues, but I do think, to your point, I think they will cannibalize each other this year. If I had to pick one, I would pick Kyle Rudolph, who, you know.
If going into the season, would you feel comfortable with him as your starter, Kyle Rudolph?
No.
Yeah, I think I'd aim a little bit higher myself. Okay. I think there's enough guys that are solo acts in their offense at tight end that I'd rather lean that way.
Yeah, I mean, you think about that Week 16 game against the Lions.
Yeah, 22% of his points came in that game,
yeah,
right?
9 for 122 and 2 touchdowns
right.
for Kyle Rudolph, Daniel. Nice job by your Lions to not even guard him. I thought that was an interesting choice defensively.
Hey, we all make decisions in life, and we stuck by that one, Matthew.
Yeah, got it.
All right, that's a Vikings double trouble.
Anyway, so there you go. Here's the thing. It feels like he's touchdown dependent. You know what I mean? And most tight ends are in fantasy. And so if you're going to get, you'd rather a guy that's, you know, could get you 4 for 40, you know, with a shot at a touchdown. Kyle Rudolph feels like just kind of like needs a touchdown to be relevant, and there's other tight ends that are going ahead of him that maybe don't necessarily need to score but could still put up some points.
In most cases, when you have two tight ends that are relevant, you have none for fantasy football. So that's our Vikings recap for Double Trouble. We've got plenty more. Again, we'll do every single team throughout the month. That's our first show. It's in the books. We were not canceled going into today. I'm not sure if we'll be canceled before tomorrow, but it was fun
to be
back.
We'll see if I'm still here tomorrow.
It was great to see you.
It was great to see you. I enjoyed
this. It was really fun. This was a lot of fun. We'll do it again every single day, 10 a.m. Eastern time. Where? Twitter, YouTube, ESPN app.
Well, then, of course, everywhere where podcasts are available. We're still an audio product, believe it or not.
No question, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, what else is there?
Yeah, oh my gosh, Spotify.
Spotify, there's one.
There's iHeart. There's TuneIn.
Or do you have a Jay-Z connection?
I do not believe we're on Tidal. Are we on all the other ones?
Yeah, we're on all the other ones.
We are.
Good. Yeah. Who knows?
We're everywhere, Matthew.
I don't read my email.
No.
That's all great. So please download us. You don't have to listen, but please download us. Please give us a 5-star review. I'm told that's important to the kids at iTunes.
Yep, huge.
So please do that.
And then follow Matthew Berry at Matthew Berry TMR on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere, except for the Fantasy Life app. He's just at Matthew Berry.
At Matthew Berry. But you follow me on Instagram. I promise more pictures of my feet. At Matthew Berry TMR.
That's
on
the best sales job I have ever heard.
Right. I'm currently at 663 likes on my foot picture, apparently.
Let's get it up to 1,000.
Let's get that up to 1,000. You're at Field Yates on the gram. And on the Twitter, And in fact, I'll see you later today because you're coming out to do the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, right? You're going to do a segment.
Starring Daniel Dott, featuring Matthew Berry. We're talking Finns, Patriots, mañana. Talk to you then.
Peace out.
Here in the 06010. Never going to hustle in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jail bait, field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At field Yates. At field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret squirrel, Daniel Dye.
Make
it's Matthew and
mediocre
field.
Fantasy.